We've been going through a series in the book of Matthew, the series title being The Coming. And as we slowly approach Christmas, we're wanting to think about the idea that, yes, we are looking forward to Christmas and wanting to remember how Jesus Christ came to this earth, how he was born, and born in a very humble way, and he grew up, and he lived his life, and he died for us, and how he resurrected also. We want to remember all these things, but at the same time, as we go through this series, it's also a reminder for us to anticipate the coming, the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the topic that we've been going through. We've been talking about how Jesus is going to return. And as we talk about this topic, even in today's sermon, I want to ask each of you guys just to continue to think about, and I'm not just talking about today, I'm not just talking about during the sermon, but I'm talking about throughout this month and the whole month of December, to keep thinking about how Jesus Christ is returning. And if he is returning, as we know that he is returning, how are we going to live our lives with that in mind? So let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. And I want to ask you guys, if you do have your Bibles, to turn your Bibles, whether it be a physical Bible or an electronic Bible on your phones or whatever it might be. And yes, we will have it on the screen, but like I say almost every week, it's great to have your own Bible in front of you to take notes, to highlight things, just to write your own thoughts there, and also to be able to turn places. Sometimes I don't have all the verses on the screen, so I want to encourage you guys to do that. Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 to 31. This is the reading of God's Word. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Amen. When the end finally comes and Jesus Christ returns, I want us to ask ourselves, will I be a person that stands among those with Jesus, or will I be among those that will face eternal damnation, eternal punishment? Now, this is a heavy question, and I know that I'm speaking to people here where most of us are Christian, but I want us to think about this. And I want us to think about, you know, why? Why is your answer your answer? Another way to ask this question is, and this is an old question that people would ask, if you die, or if Jesus Christ returns, and you're standing in front of Jesus, and if Jesus asks you, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? Are you sure that God, that Jesus would let you go into heaven? Now, this is one of the questions that we ask in our membership interviews. Sometimes we ask it, but we ask it in the application. And perhaps for some of us, the answer is very obvious, how we would answer that question. But maybe for some of us here, that answer is not so obvious. And I want us to think about this idea of, you know, one day we will be standing in front of Jesus. And whether he'll ask this question or not, I don't know. But what we do know is that Jesus Christ is going to return to judge the world. and all of us will face judgment. And so we have to ask this question, you know, will we be people that are with Jesus, or will we be the ones that face eternal damnation? And are you sure of your answer? Are you sure? Well, the main idea for today is that we need to look forward to Jesus' coming. Last week, we were talking about looking forward to Jesus' coming in kind of in a different sense. Last week, we were talking about how there will be dangerous times. There will be times when we face crisis. There will be times when we face danger. And it will maybe even be a physical danger. And so last week, we talked about how we need to look forward and just wait upon the Lord's rescue. But today, I want to say whether you're facing danger or not, let's look forward to the Lord's coming. We want to talk about it with 3 points. Number one, final judgment. Number two, final justice. And number three, final justification. All right? So once again, the main idea for today is look forward to the appearing of the Lord. And the 3 points are final judgment, final justice, and final justification. All right? So the first point, final judgment. When we look at this passage, and we're wanting to know why Jesus is talking about these things, and for us to know that if we go all the way back to verse 3 of the same chapter, Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, the disciples were coming out, and they were coming out of Jerusalem with Jesus, and the disciples said, look at all these, look at the temple, and look at all these, this beautiful building and all these things. And Jesus says, you know, there's going to be a day when all of these things are going to be brought down. The temple is going to be destroyed. And so that prompts a question from the disciples. In verse 3, it says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, okay, and just to let you guys know, the Mount of Olives is right across from the Temple Mount. And so there's just one valley right there, and you could see clearly the temple while you're sitting on the Mount of Olives. And so it says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? When will the crumbling of the temple and everything, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the close of the age? And so all of chapter 24 is Jesus answering this question, these questions. When will these things happen? When will the temple be destroyed? And when will be the coming of the end? When will Jesus, when will you return? And so this is where we come to the answer today. We've been talking about how Jesus predicted the temple being destroyed. And now in verse 29, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days. And just to be clear, the tribulation is talking about all of the difficulties that people would face. You know, in past sermons, we talked about how there would be false prophets. We talked about how there would be wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famine and all these things. And these were just the beginning of the birth pains. And after that, there would be just people hating Christians and people being put to death and facing all kinds of tribulation. And so it says immediately after the tribulation. Now, how long does this tribulation period last? Well, last week I tried to share with you guys that according to my understanding, the tribulation started during the time of Jesus and continues even till today and will continue until the day that Jesus returns. And so we are living in the tribulation time. But in the end, it says immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from heaven and the powers of heaven, of the heavens, will be shaken. The idea here, I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever thought about the end times. I don't know if you've heard about this, how it's going to happen like this ever before. But this is what the Bible says, that the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the heaven, will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And, you know, just a few, maybe weeks or months ago, there was an eclipse that happened. And we were able to see a partial eclipse here in Taipei. And if you went all the way down to, I forget if it was Tainan or Taichung, but you're able to see a full eclipse down there. Well, David McCrailed and I, one of our elders, we went out to eat, and I was like so excited. I wanted to see the eclipse. And so we went out. We're halfway through eating our lunch, and we asked the owner if it was okay for us to go out for a little bit to see the eclipse. And we did. And we started talking about this idea about the sun being darkened and the moon not giving its light and the stars falling. I don't know if you guys ever imagined how that could happen. And so I have a theory, and not to say that it's going to happen this way. I don't know how it's going to happen. But I was just kind of discussing with David, you know, I wonder if the sun being darkened, and in other places it says the moon will turn to blood red, right? I wonder if that's an eclipse, a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. Because when a lunar eclipse happens, the moon turns reddish, right? I wonder if it's a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. And then some of you guys that know science a little bit, you're like, oh, but how can a solar and a lunar eclipse happen at the same time? And I was thinking, but what if there's a huge enough meteor or something that was flying towards the Earth, and it was big enough to actually cover the sun where it looks like a solar eclipse, and then on the other side, a lunar eclipse is actually happening at the same time, and as the comet or the meteor is coming in, you're going to see a bunch of the, you know, like fiery things coming down where it looks like the stars are falling, right? And we're living in the time of the internet, so you see the news that's going on all around at the same time. And so on your phone, you'll be able to see a solar and a lunar eclipse and the stars falling from the sky all at the same time. And David said, oh, let's stop talking about this. All of these signs happening. And again, this is going to happen at the very end. This is what the Bible says. And it's talked about in multiple places. All of these signs are a sign of God's judgment to come. Now, let me read a couple verses for you guys. In Joel chapter 2, verse 10 through 11, it says, "The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. The Lord utters his voice before his army, for his camp is exceedingly great. He who executes his word is powerful, for the day of the Lord is great and very awesome. Who can endure it?" Another passage in Isaiah, it says, Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 through 11 says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and to destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp of the arrogant and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless." A lot of times when the Bible talks about the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened, the suns and the stars falling and the heavens being shaken, it's talking about judgment. It's talking about how God is bringing his judgment. Now I want to ask, how do you feel when you hear about this? This slide is a little bit early. but we're talking about the final judgment that God is going to bring, that Jesus is going to bring. And so as you hear about this stuff, about these incredible things happening, how does it make you feel? Well, I think for an average person, just like David and even myself, I'm sure something that we'll feel is fear. And actually, that's what it says. In verse 30, it says, "Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." It says that people will mourn. It's going to be a terrible day. And there's going to be a lot of things that happen where God brings his judgment to the earth. The Bible tells us this is going to happen. This is what we're talking about when we talk about a final judgment. Now, number two, final justice. Final justice. In verse 31, it says, "And he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." And so Jesus says to his disciples that, you know, all this stuff that causes fear is going to happen. But the Son of Man, he's talking about himself, Jesus is talking about himself, will come and the trumpet will sound and it's going to be a glorious day for his people, for the elect. And who are the elect, you ask? The elect are those people that have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so if you are here today and you're saying, "I do believe in Jesus. I do believe in Jesus Christ." And if this faith continues on to the end, then you can know for sure that you are among the elect. And Jesus says he will gather his people. There will be a gathering. And so actually, even though we talk about Jesus' coming as a time of judgment, but for his people, for the elect, it's going to be something that we can look forward to. Why? Well, here are a few reasons. This is our second point, final justice. The day will come when Jesus Christ comes to make all things right. There will be final justice that's carried out. And all the ways, you know, we were just reading in the past sermons, in the previous passages, where the Christians will be persecuted, where all nations will hate the Christians because of the name of Jesus Christ. We will face all kinds of injustices in this world. And even if it's not the stuff that's talked about, the terrible things that are talked about in this chapter, Christians today, we all have gone through experiences where we feel injustice, where we feel like just this isn't right. And even if we personally haven't gone through it, we see it on TV, we see things in the news where we feel like, where is God at these times? Maybe we've asked this question before, and that question comes from a heart where we're experiencing injustice in this world. And when Jesus returns and he comes to judge the world, he's coming to bring justice. Everything will be made right. And that's why we can look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another reason is that we get to see Jesus. You know, when we talk about Jesus, when we read about Jesus, you know, a lot of times it's just stories, and maybe we see these the pictures of how artists have drawn Jesus. We have maybe these ideas in mind, but then, you know, all of these things that we kind of imagine and kind of think about, one day we're going to be able to see Jesus face to face. One day we're going to be able to see his glorious face. It's going to be magnificent. And you know, all these troubles that people faced, especially during the time of tribulation, all the troubles where it causes us to fear, but it allows us to run back to Jesus. All of these things will all disappear as soon as we see the face of Jesus. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have gone through this experience where you went with your parents to the grocery store and you're just looking at some toys, or I don't know, maybe some people are looking at the vegetable section. I don't know. But you're in the supermarket and you're looking at something and then all of a sudden you can't find your parents. How many of you guys have had that experience before? Yeah, a lot of us, right? And so for me, I remember I was in this large store called Home Depot, where it's kind of like a Costco for other stuff. I got lost. I couldn't find my parents. And I was so worried and I was scared. And some of you guys might know that feeling. And I just started walking as fast as I could. And I started running and I started looking at all the aisles, making sure where my parents, you know, see if they're there or not. And then there's that moment where you get to that aisle and you look down the aisle and you see your parents down the aisle. and you feel this, and maybe some people, you just start to cry, I was looking for you everywhere, I finally found you, right? And you go into your parents' arms, and you're like, finally, I'm safe. And all those thoughts of how scared you were, and what if I don't find my parents, all of that just disappears. That's what it's going to be like when we see Jesus face to face. It's going to be glorious. We should also look forward to the second coming of Jesus because it gives us purpose in this life. The fact that Jesus is not here yet means that there's a reason why Jesus keeps us here. And we've talked about this in a previous sermon. We need to continue on in doing God's kingdom work. And so we look forward to Jesus' coming because it reminds us that there's still a work to be done. And the fourth thing is that it reminds us of the urgency of sharing the gospel. Knowing that Jesus is coming back and Jesus himself has said, I am coming soon. Perhaps you're thinking in this moment, what about all those people that I care about? What about my friends? What about my neighbors? I don't know if they believe, or maybe I know that they don't believe. What about all those people that I care about in that other country or my home country? What about all those people? And as we think about the Lord's coming, it gives us this urgency of, man, I need to really go and pray for some of these people and ask that the Lord start to work in their hearts. Now, as we think about this, and we're talking about how we want to look forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, especially because he is going to make all things right. But the fact is that as we live our daily lives, there's a lot of times that we forget. We forget about the Lord's coming. Or sometimes when we do think about the Lord's coming, we have this fear in us. And the question is why? Why is it that we want to avoid the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or why is it that sometimes we don't want to think about it? Why is it that sometimes we just want to forget about it? Why? Perhaps one of the reasons is that we're afraid of the judgment to come. Maybe when we think about that question, you know, what will I say if I appear before Jesus? And your answer is, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm afraid that Jesus is going to send me to hell. And so you don't want to really think about that question. You don't want to think about how Jesus is going to come and judge because you're just not sure what your fate is going to be, what your end is going to be. And that maybe applies to some of us here. But maybe for a large number of us, it's not that. It's not necessarily that we're afraid of judgment. But perhaps we don't want to think much about the final end, or we forget often about the end because we see things in this life, on this earth, as more important or more closer to us right now, that this is all we end up thinking about, and we don't think about the end. Let me try to be a little bit more clear about what I'm talking about. When we think a little bit more deeply about why do we forget, or why do we not want to think about the end too much, maybe it's because we fear things here on earth more than we fear the final judgment. We fear things here on earth more than we fear the things that are with regard to the final judgment. Let me hash that out a little bit. We fear what people think or what people might think if I don't do a good job. We fear that we might, during Chinese New Year, we might hear from relatives or whoever that we're not married yet, and we start hearing all these comments about how we need to get married. We fear that moment. Maybe we fear losing our jobs, maybe because of coronavirus or because of things that happened at work. Or maybe we fear not having a successful outcome of our latest project. Or maybe we fear our spouse is leaving us. Or maybe we fear our children rejecting us. Or maybe our children not growing in a way that seems good to people. Maybe we fear being unhealthy. All of these fears that we typically have are fears that we experience because, I mean, they're right in front of us. But all of these fears are fears just about things that are going on in our lives here on earth. But what about that final judgment? How often do we think about that? Because when we do think about that, it brings about a fear that I believe should become a greater fear than any kind of fear that we experience here on earth. The fact is that we find ourselves fearing these things here on earth much more often than we find ourselves fearing God and His final judgment. We fear these things on earth. When we fear these things on earth, what it shows is that we are fearful more about our insecurity, our security here on earth. We put more thought into our security here on earth, security of our reputation, or security of our job, or our success, security of just our lives, our health. We put our focus on these things. And we don't think about the security that may or may not be there when we come to the final judgment. And in church, what may be true is that too often we talk about God's love, which is extremely important, which needs to be talked about. But too often we talk about God's love without giving enough attention to the idea of the fear of the Lord. And we talk about God, how much He loves us and how good He is, and we talk about all these things, but we don't have in mind that God is a holy God, that He is a sinless, pure, mighty God, and that He is a God that will come to judge the world one day. We forget about this. We forget that we need to revere Him. We forget that He is a God to be feared. And the way that the Bible talks about it is that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Once you begin to understand how great, how powerful our God actually is, and it starts to strike fear into your heart where you say, oh man, I am not worthy. And actually, it causes me to actually be a little bit more careful and cautious about my life. Once you begin to have that in mind, that's the beginning step of how we can get to the gospel. If you don't have the fear of the Lord, then you don't have the gospel. If you don't understand what it means to face judgment from God, then the good news is not really good news anymore. This is not something that we talk about often in churches, but I believe it is something that we do need to talk about. God is coming. Jesus Christ is coming, and He is going to come to judge the world. And the Bible says over and over, He will judge you according to all the things that you have done, according to your deeds. Jesus will judge. It says that over and over. And so someone might ask, Pastor, didn't you say the main idea is look forward to the coming of Jesus? How can we look forward to His coming when we're talking about judgment? And this is where we come to the third point, final justification. Jesus came to this earth many, many years ago. And the fact is that He lived a perfect life, not like the kind of lives that we live. And he died on the cross so that our sins would be forgiven. And Jesus says that if you put your faith in him, that if you put your trust in him and what he's accomplished on the earth while he was living, and what he accomplished when he died, what he accomplished when he rose again from the dead, if you put your faith in him, then you will be saved. And that all of your sins that you've committed, all the ways that we go against God, the ways that we fear the things of this world and we make these things to be more important than when we fear God. We make these things so important that these things actually become God in our lives, and we fear these things more than we fear God. In that way, we go against God. Jesus says that he died for those sins. He died for us, and so that we would be forgiven when we put our hope in him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I've read this verse before in this series, but I want to keep coming back to this verse because it's really important. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely." Let's fight against sin. Let's try to do our best to live for his glory according to God's ways. And it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." The point that I want to focus on is that Jesus, it says that who for the joy set before him endured the cross. You know, when Jesus was still living, he knew that he was going to go to the cross and die. He knew that he was going to go into Jerusalem and face death. And what he was going to face was God's judgment that was supposed to be for his people that continued to disobey God. Jesus was going to the cross to receive that judgment that we were supposed to face. Jesus faced that judgment on our behalf. And so when we think about the future judgment, we that put our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear a future judgment against us because we believe that Jesus already paid that price for us. Jesus already faced that judgment for us. And in that way, there was a justification for us to say that we are righteous because of what Jesus accomplished while he was living and how he died for us. And that's the final justification. Once we face Jesus one day, he will not see us and our sin. He will see Jesus' blood that was shed for us. How does that help us to look forward to the judgment? The fact is that Jesus faced the judgment for us. And he faced it with joy, because he looked forward to the day that he would rise from the dead. But not only that he himself would rise, but that all of us that are called his people, the elect, that we together would arise with him. Jesus had joy when he thought about how he would rise from the dead, how there would be victory over sin and death, and he had joy as he thought about how we would also rise with him. And so it says in Acts chapter 2, this is where Peter, he gives a sermon to the Jews after Jesus Christ, he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and all the Jews were gathered together, and Peter gives this sermon. And as this is just a part of his sermon, he says, he's quoting a passage from the Old Testament. He was quoting a prophecy. It says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke." All these words of judgment, right? "The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And Peter goes on to say, look, you guys have sinned. He's telling the Jews, you guys crucified Jesus. But if you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And I want to let you guys know, this is a promise of God. If you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, how he died and rose again for us, this is his promise. If you call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. And if you appear before the Lord one day, and if he asks this question, why should I let you into heaven? Then we can all confidently say, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, we can confidently say, Jesus, the reason why you should let me in is that Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. In other words, Jesus, I know you will let me in because you died for me. You justified me ultimately. And there's nothing that I deserve to deserve. There's nothing I did to deserve this salvation. You're the one that saved me. And I believe you did this. You paid it all for me. Thank you. You see, when we find our security in Jesus, there's actually nothing that we need to fear. There's nothing that we need to fear. When we don't fear that final judgment, the thing that we should be most fearful of, even the things here on earth, they begin to not be so scary anymore. There's nothing to fear. Let me close with a couple applications. Jesus is coming to bring justice. And so a question that we can ask ourselves now is, as he is going to bring justice, what he desires for us to do is to give glimpses of this justice to people around the world, especially those that are helpless, especially those that are not able to help themselves, that are going through struggles and trials where they don't know how to get out of. We need to give glimpses of justice to people by going and rescuing those people. Church, we need to work together to do this. If you guys know of any people that are struggling, if you know of certain groups of people out there, nations that are struggling, they're not able to get out of their situation, let's begin to at least pray for them and bring it up to me. Tell me where the Lord is leading you, your heart. Let me know so that we can begin to pray about this. And let's be a church that brings justice, that gives glimpses of God's justice to this world. And so that's the first thing. Ask that question, where can I help to bring justice? The second thing is meditate on Jesus' power, how he died and rose again, and how one day he will return to gather his people, and how he will rise all of us that are the elect, that put our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's meditate on Jesus' power and know that even if we face the difficult circumstances that we face now, no matter what we face, that Jesus is powerful enough to rescue us, and his rescue will come. It may not come the way we think, but his rescue will come. The third thing is, as we know that Jesus gives us purpose, as he comes and we anticipate that, you know, he's not here yet, so there is a purpose for us. We can ask, you know, how does God want me to be a light? How does God want me to share his truth to people around? Who can I pray for to know Jesus? And that's the third point. And the fourth one is, as we know that Jesus is coming, it gives us a sense of urgency. And so let's think about, you know, how can we bring, as a church, how can we bring the gospel to Taipei and beyond? I want us to be thinking about this together. I want us to actually talk about these things in our community groups. How can we as a church reach out to this land and to share with people about Jesus Christ? Who do you know among the places where you work, in your neighborhoods, and how can we come together as a church to really reach out to these people, to share with them that Jesus Christ is coming, that there is a final judgment, but if you put your hope in Jesus, there's nothing to fear. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much that we can look forward to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The only reason is because Jesus did pay it all for us. Lord, I pray that you'll be working in all of our hearts, that we would keep this in mind, that you are coming soon, just as you said you would. And Lord, may our heart's cry be, yes, Lord, come quickly. Lord, I pray for all of us here. I know, Lord, that there are many of us that are going through such difficult times right now. I know, Lord, for a lot of us, it's just so difficult. And so, Lord, I lift them up to you. And I ask, Lord, that you would just remind them that you will bring justice one day. Remind them, Lord, that you have the power to rescue them. Remind them, Lord, that they may find your comfort and your peace. And I pray, Lord, that your word would bear fruit in each of our hearts. I pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.